Good morning, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. Our show this morning, which deals mainly with veterans' issues, most especially Vietnam veterans and their exposure to Agent Orange. And we're going to be talking with Tammy Connell, founder of March Against Monsanto. Monsanto, of course, being the producer of Agent Orange dioxin-based herbicides that have caused so much damage worldwide. And I'm really pleased to have this lady on because she's an expert in this topic, for one thing. She's organized these protests for another, and she can talk at length factually about what's going on here. Joining us today is Cherie Evans, and she, of course, puts together all of these shows, does all the legwork on them, and she wants to join in the conversation today, so she'll be on with us also. With all of that said, Tammy Connell is the founder of March Against Monsanto and is an organization that has played an instrumental role in educating the world on GMOs, the carcinogenic herbicides used on a majority of our food supply, and Monsanto's hijack of the U.S. government, and amen to that statement. Tammy works to raise awareness on the health issues we are facing as a result of the increasingly toxic food supply and the serious growing threats chemical agriculture poses. And she's committed to fighting against those who perpetrate and profit off of our sickness and disease, including the biotech and pharmaceutical industries. She's worked to organize 5 global marches with millions of people all over the world, converging in solidarity against Monsanto and chemical companies, impacting our world with no regard for human life. She also works with numerous groups raising awareness on various issues like vaccine transparency, climate change, civil rights, and government corruption. And with all of that, good morning and welcome to the show, Tammy.
Good morning. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, we're glad to have you. I'm very honored, actually, to have you come on. In reading this intro, we just discussed before we came on air the things like the Gardasil vaccine. Your position on climate change is what?
I absolutely believe climate change is happening. I mean, I don't know how you can deny it. I truly don't.
Well,
I'm a firm.
Yeah,
go ahead, I'm
I have, you know, a different position, but I just wondered what yours was. And it's not an issue I wanted to, you know, go into today. But go ahead.
I honestly, like, you know, I actually think that climate change is also going to be used to further a poison agenda, though. I don't know if you've seen the research coming out of Harvard, where
yes.
They're basically trying to normalize geoengineering and using it as a facade to combat climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So I also think that there can be very nefarious workings, you know, using
exactly.
climate change as a front. So I think that we do need to remain vigilant and,
right.
you know, continue to pay attention.
I do, too. And when you talk about the geoengineering, of course, is the chemtrailing that they're doing. And here, being up here in the northern Midwest, they are just bombing us up here. Just absolutely, it's terrible what's going on. And people are sick, sinus infection, upper respiratory. And they came out, what was it here, Tammy, 2 years ago and said that what they were doing was global dimming.
Right.
So that the sun's rays couldn't get to us and harm us. Well, excuse me, we're seeing the death of vegetation all over the planet as a result of this. Somebody get a clue here. I personally, and I know people love to sling that label, conspiracy theorists, but I do think there is something afoot here to basically put us in a position, maneuver us into a position where we have no other option but to eat this crap.
If I may address the fact that people want to say it's a conspiracy theory, it is a fact that Monsanto spent $930 million to buy Climate Corporation. It is a fact that Monsanto holds patents for aluminum-resistant seeds, and they are working to acquire more technology. So it's been proven that aluminum, barium, and other toxins are
yes.
raining down from the sky. So when you sit
yep.
back and connect the dots, it really isn't a conspiracy when there's so much fact.
Exactly. And Tammy, it's probably been at least 6 years ago. I had written an article about, and I had come across this document put out by the Air Force, and it had to do with statements they had made in front of a Senate subcommittee. And it was called Owning the Weather in 2025. And by 2025, and this general is sitting in there testifying to these senators about how they had the technology then to alter weather, to cause drought, to cause flood, to cause famine. They could do it all now. And he said it was just a matter of implementing those programs, that they had them. And this is, of course, when HAARP got exposed, what HAARP was, where it was at. Now we have 17 floating HAARP stations in the Northern Hemisphere that alter the weather. And this is being done daily. I think there is climate change. I will agree with you on that there is, but I do not think it is a natural change. Right. I think it is being manipulated. And of course, then they attach it to environmental movements and you get everybody fighting over whether it's real or it isn't. It is real, but it is not natural. It is not of its own evidence caused. And I think it's artificial and it's manipulation. That's my position on that. But
I would
anyway,
agree.
Yeah, and they're making us sick doing it. Tammy, you, like I say, I want to get back to this march. I am so impressed with this. Too often I call them keyboard warriors. We see people who think if they hit like and share, they're an activist. If they hit tweet, they're an activist. No, they're not. It's those people who stand up and present themselves. And there's people like Cherie who physically cannot do that anymore, but is supporting you all the way. But these other people who give lip service, but they won't present themselves. And the fact that you have gotten people to their feet and willing to stand out there and protest this crap and expose it, I think is just phenomenal. How did you get started in that?
I was living in California when Prop 37 was a ballot initiative on the 2012 campaign cycle there. And there was a, like I said, Prop 37 would have required the labeling of all genetically modified foods in the state of California. And there was just such an immense amount of corruption and money that was thrown into the probiotic outcomes that I was utterly disgusted because I'm a mom that prides myself. I've always, made meals for my kids at home. We've always been big on fruits and vegetables. And I was honestly horrified to find out that all this time, the food that I thought I was feeding my family was coated in carcinogenic pesticides. So I decided to basically start March Against Monsanto because I figured that, you know, when people know better, they do better. And I just wanted to provide like a platform to educate, raise awareness, and also to build like community empowerment to, you know, get people out in the streets. It's lonely sometimes being an activist, and it's nice to have, you know, like community empowerment. So, you know, you're not the only one out there fighting for, you know, something so important.
I agree with you. And I know exactly what you're saying about, you know, finding out that your food is absolutely drenched in this stuff that's going to, if nothing else, make you seriously ill, but in the long run can kill you, can shorten your life. And it will not be a pleasant death. I think one of the points you made that this is done to benefit, we call them biopirates, and pharmaceutical industries. We have a whole system predicated upon not only making us sick, but keeping us sick and making us a lifetime patient. So you're constantly having to go back and get the next new medication for whatever they claim is ailing you without ever admitting they're the ones that caused the ailment to begin with. And I'm surrounded up here, Tammy, by agricultural fields. I am surrounded by things that are going on that make me sick. And when they spray these fields up here, which they're beginning to do, and they spray these fields, I get sick. And so do a lot of people around here. And yet if you bring this up anywhere, It's your imagination. Oh, well, you're just getting older. Well, I'm sick, you know, and we've got entire families out here, Tammy, in this area, entire families, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, and the kids, dead from cancers. Wiped out whole families. They're farm families. What do you suppose the link is? And they're all forced to plant these GMO seeds.
Yeah, and it should be noted that the glyphosate that we're talking about, the weed killer that is requisite for these GMO crops they're growing, they call them Roundup Ready, basically where these crops can withstand just massive spraying of this pesticide, or I'm sorry, it's an herbicide. And I wanted to really make a point to your listeners that this chemical, glyphosate, is banned in countries all over the world. Europe will not accept exports that have any kind of detection of pesticide, herbicide on
right.
them. And here in the States, we can't even get it regulated. The EPA and FDA had made mention that they were going to start testing foods, and then they decided to scrap that plan for no known reason. And, I mean, we all know the reason, but...
Yeah. Well, and that's the truth. And, you know, they just ended country of origin labeling, what they call cool labeling. And so because we would go to the store, and if there were fruits and vegetables out there, I'd turn it over and see where it came from. If it didn't say product of USA, we didn't buy it. Well, now they said too many people were doing that. So they removed that. They said it was a barrier to trade. And that wasn't fair. And so they removed that. We are importing things into this country that we can grow ourselves. And I'm of the frame of mind that whatever we can produce, we should produce. And nothing from that should be sold except surplus. And the idea that we are bringing in from countries that we don't know how something was grown, what was done to it, how it was processed, how it was handled, we don't know anything. Bringing it in and putting it on supermarket shelves here scares me to death. Have you seen, Tammy, the efforts to stop not only organic farming, but the farmers markets, global, you know, the community farmers markets, that we've been watching that for about 5 years, the efforts to shut those down, to stop those products from being sold that are not genetically modified?
Yeah, it's really frightening what's happening to our food supply in this country. And I'm a mom of three small kids, and it's really frightening. And again, I just really encourage people, like you said, we can't just be keyboard warriors. We need to be demanding action from agencies like the EPA that are there. They were created to protect public health. They were not created to take backdoor contributions and kickbacks from industries like biotech and the pharmaceutical, you know, companies. That, you know, there is nobody safeguarding our health. We have the proverbial fox guarding the hen house, and, you know, we need action. You can't, like you said, you can't just be clicking like on a Facebook page. Like, we need to be ringing the phone off the hook at the EPA. We need to be banging the doors down at the FDA, demanding action.
Well, the EPA...
Or these agencies need to be disbanded, because if they're not doing what our tax dollars are paying them to do, then there's no purpose.
Exactly. We cannot be forced to fund our own destruction, is the way I like to think about it. The EPA is a wholly owned corporation, wholly owned by the federal government, which is a corporation in and of itself. But it is one of several corporations they own outright. The FDA, USDA are what's termed public services corporations, and they contract to the federal government. And we are forced to pay them money while they contract with companies like Monsanto against us. And to profit, as a corporation, they have one fiduciary duty, and that is to make a profit. And if they have to kill you to do it, they will. But I totally agree with you. If these corporations that supposedly perform all these government services are not serving the public, then they need to be disbanded. They need to be got rid of. When Michael Taylor got appointed to be the White House food czar, whatever he was. And here's this big high gear Monsanto muckety muck gets a White House appointment. I figured we were pretty well in the dust then. And then you got Clarence Thomas sitting on the Supreme Court, was an attorney for Monsanto, is still invested in Monsanto, and has never been recused from any case involving Monsanto. I think
he's ruled in their favor every single time he's been given the opportunity.
Yes, he has. And this is a man, for people who don't know, Clarence Thomas sleeps, is notorious for sleeping through hearings that that SCOTUS does, and he's only asked one question, which was here recently, in all the years he's been sitting on the Supreme Court. He's only asked one question, and he sleeps through all of the offerings to the court. So, I mean, here's this man, like I say, still invested in Monsanto. His wife is invested in Monsanto, and he is supposed to recuse himself and, in fact, severed all ties before he accepted that position on the court, and he did not, and he's still there. And like you said, Tammy, he votes in their favor every single time. When you look at the food supply, Tammy, what do you see right at this moment as where is the biggest threat coming from? In what area?
Like, as far as the food is concerned, I think it's glyphosate. I honestly think it's glyphosate. We now have glyphosate being detected in Aaron Rain samples. It's in the breast milk of nursing mothers. It's been found as a contaminant in vaccines that are being mandated for children. So there's never been a single safety study proving that injecting the killer into a baby is safe. But yet in states like California and Mississippi, children are not allowed to go to school unless they receive these shots.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's in the umbilical cord blood of newborn babies. My friend Zen Honeycutt, whose organization is Moms Across America, she's done extremely just shocking research on just all the ubiquitous places that you'll find glyphosate. It's everywhere. It's in every one of us. It's in everything we touch. It's in the air we're breathing. So I think that is absolutely the most imminent threat that we face as far as the toxic food supply.
Okay. One of the things in doing these shows with Cherie, one of the people we had on mentioned the fact that in Vietnam, where they had used Agent Orange, dioxin, and that here we are 50 years later, and this stuff has a half-life of 200 years before it ever starts breaking down. And they are showing the residual effects of this being absorbed in the soil, of it contaminating the water. It's still there, and the effects on the population. Now, what brilliant mind brought that stuff here and began using it on our agricultural fields? And who is it thinks, with the battle our veterans have faced trying to get recognition for the damage this chemical has caused them, and you douse our food with it and give it to our children, and you can't understand why there's a rise in cancer in children? You can't understand why there's a rise
in infertility. We talked about that too, infertility.
Yes. Exactly. And I was glad to see those statistics you quoted on that too. Polysorbate 80 in these vaccines in conjunction with dioxin in the vaccines, and it is in there. You can't conceive. This is what's happening. And Tammy, maybe I'm wrong, but to me, that is the number one. And of course, when you see Bill Gates and his wife behind anything, and when they're promoting vaccines, you know something is afoot besides somebody's health. They're both avowed eugenicists. But these vaccines are reducing our ability to procreate. And then you add into it this contamination of our food with all these horrendous chemicals. These kids don't stand a chance if they can even get into this world. By the time they're young adults, they're already so toxic from all that they've been exposed to, forced to accept in the way of these vaccines, deadly medications of all kinds. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's just like the pharmaceutical industry. What other product out there can get on national TV repeatedly and say This drug can cause you to have a heart attack, a stroke, a brain bleed, cause aneurysms, can cause your head to fall off. You can get diarrhea, vomiting, seizures, paralysis, blindness, blah, 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 blah. And it could kill you, but go to your doctor and ask for some of this. What other who can get away with that? And yet it's
insanity.
Done every day. It is. It is. I mean, what if a car manufacturer got on TV and said, driving this car, you know, you could be driving down the road and one wheel could fly off and you could spin around in the road and you could crash into a tree and ultimately you could be killed. How many of those cars do you think they'd be allowed to sell? And yet we allow this pharmaceutical industry to do this day after day after day. When you add biotech into it and what they have done to the natural process of things, one of the things I looked at too, Tammy, here some years ago, was this Invasive Species Act. And if you read the criteria for invasive species, it's genetically modified crops. And they're the application of all of these chemicals. This is an invasive species. It takes over everything it comes in contact with. It invades. You can't control it. There was never any Monsanto, when they came out with this crap, did no quality control and did no control work. How would you control this? How would you keep this from going over into somebody else's field that didn't want it? Well, the intent was they do want it to go over your field. That way they can come sue the farmer and take his land in here because you stole our patented idea. And when you see them working in conjunction with USDA and holding dual patents on things like Terminator seeds, who in their right mind, if we're trying to feed the world like they claim, who in their right mind would create a seed that doesn't produce seeds that can be reused? I don't get it.
Great question. Such a great common sense question.
Yeah. I mean, who would do that? When you look at that Svalgard seed vault, and it's all non-GMO seeds they're protecting there sitting out in the middle of the North Atlantic. Why? How come you didn't put genetically modified seeds? You know, if they're so wonderful and it can feed the world, why aren't those in there? And, you know, I look at all these things and like you say, you can put this stuff out there and people will attack you and call you a conspiracy theorist and they will call you, you know, a tinfoil hat wearer and you know, do all kinds of crazy things. And I operate on this theory, Tammy. When you're getting attacked the hardest and the worst, it's because you're right over the target. You've nailed them down and they want you to shut up. And I know you've taken your fair share of hits of people trying to marginalize what you're doing. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I try not to breathe too much life into my haters, but they definitely exist. I have been attacked. I mean, horrible things. I've had cancer wished on my children. But like you said, I feel like the mission is too important to be really worried about, like, me being comfortable. So I just, mm-hmm. I keep speaking out and, you know, some of my
exactly.
haters have actually become supporters. So
there
is hope.
Yeah. Well, and the thing, what I like about your site especially, and in all the material you produce there, regardless of which topic you're touching on, whether it's, you know, GMO, vaccines, whatever, you are well-resourced. And one of the things I have told people who want to write about various things is go back to government documents. There's enough ammunition there for you to prove your contentions, and always resource to government documents, resource to these agencies, and use them because it stops all this crazy talk. If you don't like what I said, don't get mad at me. I didn't write this. I took this right out of their material. Why are you upset at me? And you know what I'm saying, but always resource, and your site is so well documented. And I think that is imperative today. Especially as we are getting throttled seriously by companies like Google. I don't use Google anything, nothing, Zippo. And but where they're trying to drive us down in the rankings so people can't find your page, or they'll give an error 404, you know, and this site is not credible message. is not credit worthy.
Well, and even
I'll get
my
out of
colleague,
here.
Mike Adams, he had his site taken down by Google because they tried to allege it was all fake news. And it,
yep.
His is very well sourced and researched as well. So,
yep.
I mean, there's definitely a large amount of censorship taking place.
And
you've got to follow the money and ask yourselves why that's happening.
Exactly. Google is nobody's friend. And I think the best thing everybody could do is shut them off, which is what we do. We don't, like I say, we don't use Google anything. But when that came out about Mike Adams, I had posted that, of course, on my site and encouraged people to give Google a piece of their mind over that. And I would sure have loved, Tammy, to know what went on behind the scenes, that they were forced to put his page back up because they wanted him put out of business. I mean, that's just all there was to it. This was a concerted effort to take any reference to him off the net. And I think it was a test run to see if they could get away with it, if the public was paying attention. But we're going to see more sites go down. We're seeing it on Facebook now, people getting their pages taken down and under spurious claims of you need to prove your identity. It was reported you're using a fake identity. You know exactly who I am and where I'm at. Get off of that. And then they're demanding driver's licenses and birth certificates to get your page put back up. Well, there's nothing going on Facebook that I can see would be worth all that. So, but it just, this is a system that they're trying to put into place. And so what I've encouraged everyone to do is when you've got sites like yours, Tammy, that you like to visit, that you like the material that's there, you know, want to stay up to date on what's going on, get these things bookmarked so that you can go right to them and you can avoid. And I would also advise getting on Mozilla Firefox and then using Start Page, which doesn't record your ISP, and they are far more reliant than Google in producing who's actually getting traffic on the net. Tammy, when you do these marches, when you get ready to put these marches together, especially initially when you went to do the first one, how much resistance did you get? I know you had to have gotten some interference from Monsanto itself to stop you from doing
this. Monsanto directly has never reached out to me, but they have, you know, their shills, their industry page
yep.
shills. Like, I mean, Kevin Folta, the one woman who writes for Forbes, Kevin Senepi, who, you know, will write a trash slam piece every
yep.
chance she gets about our movement. And we actually have counter protesters that started a couple years ago. So they wear
uh-huh.
green shirts and basically try and create ruckus at our events, and you know,
mm-hmm.
we have the truth on our side and we have the science on our side. So
mm-hmm.
you know, they, as much as they want to try and distract, people are listening to the science. I mean,
well,
the science,
Tammy,
is proving that glyphosate causes cancer. I mean, there's no way around that. We have this chemical being dumped on our food supply, and then we see brain cancer, leukemias are just spiking in our children, and we have to ask ourselves why.
Exactly.
It's not really hard to draw or connect the dots here.
Exactly. Well, and I think the public has come to realize, too, especially after this last election, that these people who show up in protest against you are paid. They're paid to do this. They're not there because they're against what you're doing, and they're not there because they don't believe you. They're there because somebody handed them some money and said, you put on this shirt and go out there and act like you're, you know, against this group over here. And it's all set up. It's staged, every bit of it. There's that company out in Colorado, and I can't remember the name of it, but they hire what they call crisis actors. And, of course, we saw after this last election, these people were hired in droves to stage these protests across the country because supposedly their candidate didn't win. And most of them, they said 73% of them had never voted. So if your candidate didn't win, how come you weren't in that voting booth? But this is, and people have realized that this is what's going on. So when these people show up protesting you, I think 9 out of 10 people are seeing them for what they are, and that's a stage production, trying to discredit you, trying to marginalize you. But I think this movement, and I have to credit you largely for growing it into what it is, has caught too many people's attention as they notice people around them becoming sicker by the day, when they notice their own health declining, and they're trying to do everything right. I've never encountered so many people trying to eat a healthy diet, trying to stay away from things that would harm them. I know here in my own household, we do not eat fast food. We don't drink pop. You know, we don't eat fried foods. We try to keep our diet as clean as possible. And recently, one of the most highly modified crops out there is wheat. We stopped eating any wheat products. And you know what happened? Behind that, within a month, we started losing weight. And I thought, well, isn't that weird? And, I mean, nobody's trying, but we cut out the bread, we cut out the pasta, which, Lord knows, I love both those things. But just trying to clean things up, when I read about wheat and how modified it is and how dangerous it is for us to consume. And
well, and Stephanie Seneff, who's a wonderful research scientist out of MIT, she actually believes that a lot of the celiac, the skyrocketing raise in celiac diagnosis
right.
is actually linked to glyphosate and not gluten because of
oh
how
God.
Toxic glyphosate is to the gut.
It is, too.
So that's a big thing going on right now.
Can you talk, Tammy, a little bit about what happens when glyphosate gets into the gut?
Well, it actually is – one second. I actually have a really good tab to pull up to talk about that. So, Stephanie Seneff has done a lot of research on like a gut gut brain connection, and a lot of like children with autism, they see mm-hmm. that when they're eating bad diets that are like filled with like glyphosate, GMOs, all the pesticides, there's a direct link to neurological because the connection there. And I have numerous autism mom friends who basically see a radical improvement in their children's neurological function when they do clean up their diets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just quite shocking how interconnected it all is.
Well, and then wasn't it just last year, Tammy, they came out and said, you know, how people have always said, oh, I've got a gut feeling. They actually were saying the truth because 80% of your neurons are circulating in your gut. The previously they thought were all in the head circulating in the brain. And it turns out that 80% of them are circulating in the gut. So keeping that clean. Yeah. Go ahead.
The gut is almost like a second brain. It's very,
yes.
very similar structures and dynamics and how it all works.
Yeah, and that's bizarre to think about, isn't it? But I just thought that explained a lot. And I know, what is it they call agrobacterium, the culture that basically grows this genetically modified stuff, it is present in the plant. And let's say, for instance, a cow is grazing on hay, if they're allowed to even eat it, or they're force-fed GMO grain, that agrobacterium gets in their gut, and then when they defecate, it's toxic. And here in Minnesota, Tammy, the manure from cattle fed genetically modified grains is so toxic with this agrobacterium that they cannot put it on the agricultural fields unless it's January and it's at least 20 below. That's how deadly this stuff is. But they can't spread it. You couldn't go across these fields. I mean, it looks from the road like they're relatively smooth. You get out there and you got a furrow that's, you know, a foot to 2 feet deep with big chunks of dirt, and you're like trying to step over a mountain range out there. So the idea that you could get out there on this frozen ground and disperse this toxic waste. And I mean, here we've taken something that was a natural fertilizer, was helped to regenerate the soil, help regenerate the microbes and everything else needed to grow nutritious food, and we've turned it into a toxic soup because of genetically modified foods. And there again, the glyphosate is present in it. The pesticides, herbicides, everything is present in it because these animals are ingesting this. One of the things I noticed up here, Tammy, was over the last 10 years, There has been a dwindling of small animals and birds. When I first lived up here 30 years ago, this was like little animal kingdom. Bunnies, squirrels, porcupines, raccoons. I mean, it was just little animal heaven. You rarely see anything anymore except in the fall when they take the fields down. And there are little dead animals laying everywhere, if there's even any around. I've seen one squirrel in 5 years. We used to just be running crazy with them. But I think all of this is tied to these crops, too. And I think these animals are adversely affected by this, just like we are. And I think if you look to nature and see what's happening there, they're basically living in the same environment we are. So if they're dropping over dead, if we've got thousands of fish washing up dead out of the lakes, and all the plant life is dying, it looks like there's a gas slick on top of it. What do you think's going on? You know, I don't get it. I don't get it. And you can't, I have farmers up here tell me, I'm going to ask them, why do you plant GMO? Why don't you do organic? We can't get the seed. They'll come shut us down. Who? Well, Monsanto. They'll come shut us down. That's not good news. It's not good news.
And I just wanted to bring up a quick point, what you were saying about like the cows being contaminated with glyphosate through their feed and stuff. That is actually how they believe vaccines are being contaminated, because mm-hmm. they use a lot of bovine, like I think calf serum blood is an ingredient
yes.
in a few of the vaccines. I mean, they're just horrible, horrible ingredients. And so, yeah, that's how they believe the glyphosate contamination is happening. Like the gelatin, the soy adjuvants, because they're definitely not using organic soy.
Right. Well, exactly. And yeah, if something else too, I noticed on loaves of commercially, you know, produced bread, it all says on there that soy oil is an ingredient. And I couldn't figure out, well, why would they put that in bread? And what it turned out was, you talked about these other countries prohibit genetically modified foods of any kind. We know that, you know, over at the terminals on the Mississippi, if they detect, just as you said, Tammy, if they run that probe down in the bed of that grain hauler and they even detect the dust from genetically modified crops, they reject it. And that can be a high dollar organic crop that they're taking to the terminal. But if they don't sterilize the beds of those haulers before they load that traditional crop in there, that organic crop, the residue stays there. And it not only stays there, it can invade whatever the crop is in that grain hauler. It actually is absorbed up into it and it starts spreading like a virus, which is exactly what it is. It's based off the Mosaic cauliflower virus. And so it works just like a virus, and it invades anything else that it gets close to. But I couldn't figure out why this soybean oil would be in the bread. And it's because nobody will buy this stuff. And 84% of all the soybeans here in the United States is GMO. And nobody wants it. So to keep this market from collapsing and keep you from knowing how dangerous this is and nobody else will eat it, the USDA contracted, and actually by regulation, told the bakeries they have to add X amount of soybean oil to their breads to stay in business. And this stuff is damaging. Can you talk a little bit about soy and why it's in its state, the current state is?
You know, one of the, I mean, I honestly think soy is one of the most toxic things we can be eating. There's
yes.
a study that was done in Brazil that actually showed males who had exposure, prepubescent exposure to soy and glyphosate, basically led to severe endocrine disruption, damaged sperm, radical decrease in testosterone levels. I mean, and that's just one particular study. There's countless studies showing how detrimental soy is to our endocrine system and our ability to procreate. It also affects women's fertility as well.
Yes. And I don't think this, and you, if you know that, and I know that, Tammy, you know these people at the top know this same thing. So based on that alone, I cannot think that this is not a concerted effort to render us infertile, unable to reproduce. And I just don't understand, you know, what we are. I just don't know how much of this we can take before it gets bad, if you know what I'm saying. I just don't. We've got people who cannot have children. We have young girls who now have cervical cancer that shouldn't have had it. I mean, we've got people who are becoming progressively sick by the day, whole entire communities exposed to the same thing, and everybody's got the same illness. There's a clue there. There's a clue there. So I don't understand what it's going to take for people to stand up and say enough is enough. You talked about that bill out in California. And I have watched that over 2 years, too, as these bills have come up state to state. And I believe, wasn't it Vermont or Connecticut passed a bill requiring all genetically modified foods to be labeled?
Vermont, yes.
Yes. And then the federal government, the Congress, came right behind it and said, you can't do that. It passed a bill that said you can't label it. And of
course, the United States stands alone as the only country in the world to ban GMO labeling. Every other country, or most other countries, are banning GMOs, but here in the U.S., we ban GMO labeling.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. This just makes me so angry. I can't stand it. I cannot stand it. What was people's response to this, Tammy?
I mean, it's just, it's outrage. It's nothing but outrage. It literally, you know, companies want to say, oh, we can't add that, add pertinent information to packages because it's too expensive and the cost will be kicked back to the consumer and food prices are going to skyrocket. And that's all BS, because we see it all the time. You know, Coke will roll out a few different cans a year. You know, they'll have their special holiday packaging. I mean, it's just absurd that's their excuse to not let us know that the food we're eating is made with carcinogenic poisons that are banned in countries all over the world. It's outrageous.
It is outrageous. And this is our own elected officials. You know, one of the things I said, people need to quit worrying about these unknown, unidentified, unidentifiable supposed terrorists from over there somewhere. The people you need to be afraid of are sitting right out in Washington, D.C. Those are the people that are going to hurt you. They are selling you out every day of the week on various levels and issues. And every time we see a congressman, whether Senator House, come up and actually try to do something to benefit the public in this area, they get drummed out of Congress. They get cut off. They can't, nobody will communicate with them. There's a big smear campaign that'll come out behind it, trying to ruin them. And you have to look, go to opensecrets.org and hit the money tab on any senator or representative you want to, and look and see who they're taking money from. And all your questions will be answered right there. And if you're not sure what a company is that gave $500,000 to Senator so-and-so, look them up. You can find out. And you'll find out it's usually a front company for one of these big biotech corporations or a pharmaceutical company. But they are limited, supposedly, in what they can donate. So they set up front companies and donate that way. And basically, it's bribery. And it makes me angry that these people we put in office – quickly sell us out. I mean, they just quickly do it. I guess being, you know, having a lot of money in the bank is more important than watching your neighbors drop over dead. But is there anything new coming up in this that people need to know about?
Well, there is the new technology that is in the works. It's called a CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R. And it's basically like a gene modification gun. Really inexpensive technology, and the concern is that any garage scientist will be able to obtain the technology and have the ability to weaponize things like viruses, bacteria, and again, as is Monsanto's, you know, what they do is they run this through the quote-unquote regulatory agencies without any kind of long-term testing, safety investigations, anything like that. So I would imagine that this technology will be, it is actually being currently used. The new GM potatoes that they have that, you know, don't brown. Those were actually developed using the CRISPR technology, and they basically can go in and just silence any sequence of genes that they want. And, you know, like I said, there's no checks and balances. So,
oh,
I mean,
God.
It's really frightening to think what could come of this.
It is, and it makes me think about something that I have pondered for some years now. When you take these vaccines, and as you said, you know, they can have they have DNA strands of non-related species in them, and in for vaccines on infants and toddlers, they can have human diploid cells where they make the vaccine, culture the cell out of the ground-up lungs of aborted fetuses, and they inject this into your child along with all these chemicals. And if you follow this vaccine schedule, you can be exposed to the DNA of pigs, chickens, monkeys, whatever ran through the lab that day. Now, the thing about it is, and I checked this with a friend of mine who does this kind of work, this stuff, when it's injected into you or your child, the DNA of these unrelated species and other people, it seeks out your DNA and attaches to it, and it creates what's called a mutational hotspot that's there forever. You will pass that on to any progeny you have. They don't know how this is going to express itself. And I bring up the idea that there is only 1.5 to 4% difference between what we call Homo sapien, us, and the great apes, depending on what you're looking at. And if that's all that differentiates us is 1.5 to 4%, what are we doing to people with these vaccines when we alter their DNA? And at what point? And I think, Tammy, I honestly believe that somehow all of this toxic food supply is helping to set this system in place. At what point will they decide that so-and-so, some newborn baby, the genetic testing says, oh, you don't reach the, you know, limit for to be declared human. You're not enough. You don't have enough DNA to be declared human. What are they? And if they combine and they do produce progeny, you know, two people that have been ultra vaccinated, had their DNA altered, what is their child? And I don't think this is far-fetched when you talk about this CRISPR technology and shutting off genes. If you think they won't move quickly to using that on human beings if they haven't already, you're sadly mistaken. They don't create anything that they don't intend for use on us.
And, UK and U.S. scientists have obtained patents to genetically modify human embryos. That is work that is already taking place.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and just touching on what you were saying about the vaccine schedule and what they're injecting children with, not only has that vaccination schedule never been tested for safety or synergistic effects with all these various, you know, carcinogens being injected into an 8-pound baby, but the vaccine schedule for our military, which includes the adenovirus, flu, the MMR, which is it's a trivalent vaccine, so it actually has three different viruses in it, the measles, mumps, rubella. Meningococcal, polio, tetanus, diphtheria, yellow fever, hepatitis A, typhoid, Japanese encephalitis, varicella, rabies, smallpox, and anthrax. Those are required for our military to be deployed. Those have never been tested for safety. We have no idea what the long-term health ramifications are from injecting all these viruses. But I will tell you that as far as the anthrax vaccine goes, there is a lot of science, you know, I love that word. There's a lot of science out there that proves the anthrax vaccine is actually likely the cause of Gulf War syndrome.
Yes.
There was a study done in the 2000 American Journal of Pathology that showed injecting squalene, which is an adjuvant used in the anthrax vaccine, actually triggers rheumatoid arthritis. And as we know, the Gulf War syndrome is a rheumatic disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, let's connect the dots. You know, and
there's
so much more. There's military whistleblowers who have stepped forward. I'm trying to find where else I had, because there was something else that they were saying was linked to anthrax. Oh, I know what it was. It was the other compound that it's the aluminum hydroxide. And in a more recent study, which was in 2009, the Journal of Inorganic Biochemistry, it actually says that injecting aluminum hydroxide kills motor neurons, which leads to dementia. So we have we know these two things in the anthrax vaccine that are mandated into our soldiers. And then, you know, as we see with Gulf War syndrome and many other just atrocities committed against our soldiers, the VA and our federal government just leaves them high and dry. We perpetuate all these crimes against our military. We inject them with carcinogenic chemicals. And then when it's time, you know, for there to be justice served, we turn our backs.
Yes.
And that just, you know, that's one of the reasons that we're really standing up with Operation Stand Together, that it's happening on May 20th in Washington, D.C. It's just, it's really time that justice is given to these brave people who have stood for us.
Well, and in 2003, Donald Rumsfeld went in and changed the DOD regulations on informed consent. And, of course, as I've told people who sign up for the military, you are signing a contract. Read it. It says that you expatriate. In other words, your oath of allegiance is changed from the United States protecting us to the military. To the Pentagon, basically, is what you're doing. You are expatriated. That's why if you're brought up in any kind of criminal charges at all while you're in the military, you go to a military tribunal and not a constitutionally protected court of law. You are not a U.S. citizen during your enlistment. And
just as a side note, they do it, like if there are soldiers who do not want to receive the anthrax vaccine, they are they're court-martialed, they're dishonorably discharged, all because they don't want to inject their bodies with an untested vaccine. The Clinton Executive Order 13139 basically gave the DOD complete rights to experiment with dangerous untested vaccines on our soldiers.
And then Rumsfeld came back and changed in 2003 and wrote it into the DOD regulations.
Wow.
And he made it specific, Tammy, to the fact that it not only could be applied to the military, that you don't need informed consent, and that it also included pregnant women and minorities. That you could test on them too, and too bad for all of you if you don't like it. You know, this makes me think, years ago, PBS had to run a documentary, which I have tried to get from them, and they claim now they can't find it. But it was about up here in the Midwest states, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, and the Dakotas. And I was in elementary school during this time. And I remember we used to get free milk with we brought our lunches, but you would get free milk, these little cartons of milk. And I remember one day I didn't get my milk. I ran up and grabbed a carton and went and sat down, and the girl came over and took it from me. And she said, that costs a nickel now. And of course I didn't have a nickel, but that's always stuck with me because it embarrassed me to death. But here at PBS ran this documentary about how the federal government had salted the milk supply up here for elementary schools and gave the milk away free, and they had loaded it with live and dead viruses and bacterium and all kinds of things. And they have sat back all these years watching to see where clusters of illnesses showed up in the children exposed to this. So the idea that they would do this with these vaccines is not far-fetched. They will test on us at any time in this 21st century. I call it the Scam Act, it's Cures Act. Now it says that they can test on us at any time and do anything they want. And they don't have to tell you they did it. This is pharmaceuticals, vaccines, anything, bioweapons. They can test on us because after all, we're expendable, we're disposable. And only those special people out there, you know, are protected. Of course, they won't test on them. And
isn't there a clause in that act that talks about quarantining the non-compliers as well?
Yes.
Forced quarantines
yes.
for those who don't want to be injected with carcinogens and neurotoxins.
Yep. You can be offered home quarantine. In other words, you agree never to step out of your house again, or they can physically remove you and put you in one of those FEMA camps that don't exist for the safety of everybody else. My whole thing on vaccines is, if these damn things work, and you've gotten all loaded up on them, you have this magic shield. What possible threat could someone like me present to you? Because you've gotten all this.
Well, and the number one thing that I like to ask people is if vaccines work. Okay, so for example, when's the last time you had a vaccine, Marty? It's probably been a couple decades.
20 right? years ago. Yeah, 20 years ago, probably. Yeah.
Right. So you haven't received a booster. So by the CDC's definition, that means that you should just be oozing disease because you haven't been vaccinated for anything.
Exactly.
But we don't see, we don't have an adult population that is, you know, harboring measles or chicken pox because
no.
we have natural immunity because most of us
yes.
were exposed in childhood to these
yes.
you know, infectious diseases. And I think a lot of times people confuse vaccination with immunization, and those are two completely separate things.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are, and thank you for saying that. Oh, gosh, we are down to about 3.5 minutes here, Tammy. This went way too fast. I want to have you back on because you need to talk some more, and I shouldn't have talked so much, and I have to apologize for that. But I do want to have you back on, so we'll work with Sherry. Cherie, to get you back on here because you need to be speaking some more. Can you give out your website information, any contact information you want out there?
Yes, we can be reached at admymarch@gmail.com. Our website is march-against-monsanto.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Right now, we are currently helping the Truth About Vaccines be seen. So if you're interested in viewing that for free, it's tinyurl.com. I'm sorry. Let me get the right thing here because I would really love people to watch this. This vaccine thing is a very contentious, controversial issue, and we really owe it to ourselves to have the best possible information with mandates looming. So it's tinyurl.com/vaccine-docuseries. And like I said, you can watch for free, and I encourage everyone to do that. And we hope to see you in the streets on May 20th.
I hope so, too. And again, operations stand together on the mall in Washington, D.C. It's Vincent Deem is heading that up. You can go to operationstandtogether.org, get all the information you need there for that get together.
And Aaron Brockovich is the keynote speaker, so it's something that everyone should really try and make arrangements to get out and see on the Operation Stand Together website. There's actually
right.
mention of a campsite that was donated, so there is a way for people to come and, you know, not have to pay a ton of money for accommodations on, you know, Memorial Day weekend in Washington, D.C.
There you go. I've noticed it more and more, and I've just got about a minute left here, Tammy, is that more and more people are getting up, more and more people are coming out and saying this stuff has got to stop. And the only way that is going to happen is if we get control of Washington. I don't see that happening anytime soon. So we have to do the best we can out here with what we've got. And that's just keep fighting. Just keep fighting. Just stand your ground. Stand your ground. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Tammy, thank you for taking time out of your day to be with us. Again,
thank
for
you.
Those out there, this is, our guest today has been Tammy Connell. She's the founder of March Against Monsanto, and you can find all sorts of information. You just have to type March Against Monsanto into your search, and it'll pull up more pages than you could read in 6 weeks to find out what they're doing. Excellent, excellent, well-documented referenced information on that site regarding genetically modified crops, regarding vaccines, and a host of other issues. It's a wonderful resource site. Cherie, thank you for putting these programs together and all the work you do on them. And Tammy, like I say, I want to have you back in the near future, and we'll leave that to Cherie to get that arranged. And
sure.
There's some other things I want to talk to you about. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Thank you for supporting these shows. They do get bigger each time we come on, and that's always a good sign. And we will be back next Friday with another show. We'll be dealing with veterans issues, Agent Orange, several health issues like we did today. So as the show grows, so do we. We'll see you all next week. Thanks, everybody, and have a great day.